and push him farther to the left. I mean, if anything, those of us who are to the left of him have an obligation to stand up and make sure that we draw him farther to the left to represent our interests. But we can't simply shunt him in favor of someone who has no name recognition and likely will never or not be included in any sort of primary or any sort of presidential election. We have to deal with reality. And presidential politics, granted, is not the end all. Getting him elected, as we saw with our current president, is not going to solve everything, but we should have a reasonable discussion in this country, and that has to be led by supporting a candidate who is going to promote that discussion.
And even before this afternoon, I hadn't, like, it's sort of embarrassing for me to admit, but I hadn't even logged on to check out the presidential candidates' websites, and doing so was illuminating and kind of hilarious, and I would urge you guys to do the same.
Mm-hmm. So it looks like it's 6:30. We're about out of time. We just like to close with the plea, the fact we would like to implore everyone out there, if anyone is engaged about what we've been talking about, please bring this up with your friends. I mean, I know it's taboo to talk about politics, that it's not cool to talk about at the dinner table, or whatever, but we are at a time now in this in our society where it is unacceptable to not talk about it, where we have no more time to write it off as a niche issue. This affects all of us.
Exactly.
So if you care about any of these issues, if you care about any issue, talk to people about it. Get your voice heard. Bring it up with other people so that you can foster conversation that then may lead to you forming some sort of organization that lobbies for something. That you maybe you join another organization. Maybe you support a candidate. Maybe you find a group that's already fighting for a cause. But get involved now.
Let's figure out how to live a little bit better together.
Yeah, absolutely. So with that, we're going to leave you. Thank you for listening. Have a great night.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
The time is 6:31 p.m. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next, it's Prison Pipeline.
Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel?
Good evening. This is Prison Pipeline. I'm Amy Johnson. Tonight we'll be airing audio of the ICE Out of Oregon rally that happened in downtown Portland on July 9th, 2015, as part of a national week of action to end detention. ICE is the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency. Portland police have been collaborating with ICE, and local families are being broken up. The rally was organized by the Portland Immigrant Rights Coalition, a group of organizations active in Portland. The rally included the voices of family members of Portlanders in detention, an activist calling for divestment from private prisons, and a Christian minister who speaks of our moral duty as a nation to protect immigrants. Before the action began, I spoke with a few of the organizers and participants, including Francisco, who is currently facing deportation orders. We'll start with Ray Ann, who is a member of the Interfaith Movement for Immigrant Justice.
Part of a coalition of several allied organizations who work for immigrant rights here in Portland called the Portland Immigrant Rights Coalition, or PIRC. PIRC is here today demonstrating as part of the national campaign this week against deportations and detentions, and we're here to say loudly, public, and with all of our allies and community support that we want ICE out of Oregon. No collaboration with police officials to detain or persecute immigrant families. We also are seeking divestment, you know, Portland and across Oregon, divestment from private prisons, which are detaining family members for extended periods of time, fulfilling their quota, their bed quota. And essentially, very briefly, what we want is the end of collaboration, and we want to no longer see ICE governing our community and planting fear into the hearts of those immigrant families who are our brothers and sisters.
And how did you get involved with this work, and how is it involved with your faith?
Well, our organization, we have almost 20 different faith communities of varying faiths, and across the spectrum throughout the history and prehistory, I'm sure, faith traditions across the world have all inherently had this concept of welcome the stranger. More than just love your neighbor, it's welcome the stranger with open arms, and it's prophetic hospitality, and it's what we, by our faith, are called to do. Not just for faith, and we're also members of this community, and our faith calls us to speak loudly, and we're part of the New Sanctuary movement, which is a very public movement for standing up against ICE collaboration, for standing up against the persecution of our immigrant brothers and sisters. And this is, I think, without a doubt, immigrant rights here in this country, what calls to me is immigrant rights in this country is the vanguard of human rights, without the shadow of a doubt. It's everything that is human rights touches immigrant rights right now in this current political context. And it is the thing that we need to solve, and it's the thing that we as a community need to come together and find a solution to protect people. And that's why I think it's basic human rights actions.
My name is Nicole Brown, and I'm the Leadership Development Director at the Center for Intercultural Organizing, which is part of PERC, the Portland Immigrant Rights Coalition.
What's the action that's going on right now?
We are doing this action in solidarity with the Not One More National Week of Action to End Detention, to call on the Obama administration to end the bed quota and to stop feeding our private prisons in order to keep immigrants detained and tear families apart.
What's going on here in Oregon?
Well, I think there's a lot. I'm here at PERC, the Portland Immigrant Rights Coalition. You know, we're working to support individual cases. Some of those will be families and folks that will be speaking out today, as well as just trying to figure out what's going on. There's a lot of changes in our immigration policy across the country. There's a lack of clarity. So another thing, too, is we're really trying to figure out, in between Obama's announcement being stalled and a change in our immigration policy, there's a lot of gray area, and I think a lot of folks are not really sure what's going on, and ICE seems to be continuing to go after our community, so we're just here to support.
And what are the main things that you're calling for today?
We are calling for a divestment from our private prisons. Our city money and a lot of other monies go to supporting private prisons, which contribute to mass incarceration in general. And a lot of our detention centers, our immigrant detention centers, are owned by private prisons as well, including the one here in Tacoma, which is where a lot of our folks end up when they come from Oregon. Also, there's currently a quota mandating that over 31,000 beds a night, or up to 34,000 beds a night nationally, must be filled in detention centers. So most other law enforcement agencies don't operate on a quota, but ICE does, and that's not right, because you're just incentivizing the detention of immigrants, and a private prison company is gaining by having them there.
And where are we standing outside of?
We are right here outside of the Edith Green Wendell Wyatt Federal Building here downtown in Portland, Oregon, on Southwest 3rd and Jefferson.
I personally come and support this because I've been affected by this system, you know. I'm still fighting my deportation. Federal is pressing charges for re-entry. They call it illegal re-entry. I don't believe that there is an illegal re-entry when you are running away from violence, when you know that your life is in danger. And that's the reason why I crossed the border and come to this country. I believe we all human beings, we deserve respect. And I call all the lawmakers and any authority who enforce the law to really respect those laws, and remember, if there is any law that it break our human rights, that it kill humans, that it put people in jail for no reason, that is not a law that it should be in this beautiful country, you know. Because United States is a beautiful country, but we make it look ugly by our actions. Yeah, we have to promote more respect, more love, you know.
How much is the re-entry charge?
The maximum is 20 years. So that's what I'm fighting right now, you know. We need to stop wasting money on those things. You know, by deporting people, by separating family, it's not just a deportation. It's we're spending money on the deportation. We're spending money on those big corporations who's private prison. We are spending money on childcare. What happened to those kids that they left behind, you know? The government take custody of them. We end up spending more money than we should, you know, when we don't, there is no reason. Parents should be with their kids, you know. We have to remake those laws that are just destroying this country.
Do you have children?
I do. I have 2, 4 and 5, you know, and they really understand what is going on.
How long have you lived in the United States?
I've been living in the United States for 20 years. I have nothing to do back in El Salvador, my origin country, where I born. I'm from Oregon. You know, everybody asks, Francisco, where are you from? Wow, I'm from Portland, Oregon. This is where I'm living, been living for 20 years. Yes, I did born back in El Salvador, but this is where I live, you know, so this is where I belong, you know. I've been contributing to this country for 20 years. I do pay my taxes, nobody question it. And I do whatever I can to survive. And not asking the government for help. My case is so public. I'm not afraid to any authorities. If they want to keep, you know, acting the way they're doing it right now against me, I don't care. I'm not afraid, and I do gonna fight back with my community.
And so right now, are you out on like a bail or a bond?
They released me because of the effort of the community. You know, their value effort is what it's count here, and that's the reason why I'm free, because they did an amazing job supporting me, you know, asking for my freedom. So they end up only keeping me in jail for 24 hours, and then they release me under, they call a conditions, release condition.
I'm here to support families and the community in Portland, that they want to keep the families together. It's simple and radical thing that no human being is illegal, basically, is what brings me here.
We're gonna have some people sharing their experiences and their stories, and the way in which their family members and loved ones have been affected by mass incarceration detentions and private prisons. And before we start, we want to state that some people, I won't include myself there, but appreciate the attempt to provide relief through DACA and DAPA. But we're calling on the Obama administration to do more. We want to end deportations, we want to end detentions, and we want to end the death quota. It's not enough. It's not enough what Obama has done and what he continues to do. We need to put an end to this torture. The reason why we're here today is because we want to see detentions and deportations end. There is a connection between mass incarceration, between detention that continues to fill up the jails, the private prisons, and continues to fill up the pockets of corporations that don't care about human life. We also want to see an end to the bed quota that requires ICE to hold an average of 34,000 individuals in detention on a daily basis. This number has increased steadily since 2007, and no other law enforcement agency is required to hold a number of people in detention. So we want to see an end to all that. There is a chain of suffering that starts from detention, deportation, mass incarceration, private prisons, and the system of profit. The money that most of us pay in taxes is being used to keep families, children, mothers, parents in detention. We have Elsa here, who is Thomas' mother, and it's calculated that in that single case, $200,000 have been spent in Thomas, who has spent 4 years in a private prison. We're also seeing people being prosecuted for re-entry charges. We believe that it's a waste of resources to go after members of our community in such an aggressive way. We have here Pancho Aguirre, who's been fighting for his case, and through his case, we've learned that 40 to 50% of the cases that go through the federal court right here in downtown are re-entry charges. There are a lot of resources that could be used to maintain our community safe and healthy. And they're being used to do the totally the opposite. We want to see an end to this system. We are demanding that the Department of Justice stops harassing our communities.
You're listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland. I'm Amy Johnson. Tonight, I'm airing audio of a rally that happened on July 9th, 2015 in downtown Portland. The rally was part of a national week of action to end detention. The rally was organized by the Portland Immigrant Rights Coalition.
I want to introduce Jamie. Jamie Trinkle is with Enlace, which is a Portland-based organization that's leading a national campaign against prison profiteers. Enlace's national private prison divestment campaign works at the intersections of immigration enforcement and mass incarceration to break the lobbying power of the private prison industry. Jamie from Enlace is here to share about these connections and how we can unite to break them, how we can divest from prisons and reinvest in humanity.
Hey everyone. We're here today because federal policies are leading to suffering, lots of suffering in our community. Each day, 34,000 people are locked up in detention centers across the country by mandate, by congressional mandate. 34,000 people are separated from their loved ones, their families, their communities in the U.S. each day because of these horrible policies. The U.S. detains and deports almost 500,000 people each year. That's 500,000 people suffering behind bars in detention, or 500,000 people separated from their families and sent back to countries that maybe they don't even know. That's nearly 500,000 families that are forced to suffer. The suffering that Thomas's and Palino's families, that we'll hear about later, are forced to endure is not because of good policy. It's because of greed. It's because a few greedy corporations have found a way to profit from pain and make racist laws be the laws of the country. Because private prisons have bought out our government, 11 Portlanders a day are picked up and sent to Tacoma. Private prisons lobby our government to create more crimes, to create more criminals, to create more prisons, and then they create the laws and buy the laws and politicians to make sure that those prisons are filled up. Private prisons have lobbied our federal government so that now we spend $2 billion a year on immigration enforcement. But we're here today and rising up and saying that profit from pain is inhumane, and we're going to end it. We want no more prisons turning immigrants and people of color into profits. And a movement is growing. Universities are divesting from prisons, like Columbia University in New York. Cities are divesting, like here in Portland, we're moving to divest from private prisons. Yeah. We're putting an end to our taxes and our money, our city money, our university money, going into private prisons so that our family members, our community members can stay whole and beautiful. We want divestment. We want to end the quota, and we want to reunite families.
Thank you, Jamie.
Ice out of Oregon!
I'm very honored today to introduce Elsa. Elsa fled with her one-year-old son Thomas from war-torn Eritrea. They risked their lives to cross the desert into Sudan and spent 4 years in a refugee camp. Elsa and her son Thomas moved to Portland when he was 5 and have lived here together ever since. Thomas is her only family and takes care of her. In May 2009, Thomas was picked up and spent 3 years in the Northwest Detention Center in Tacoma. After being released on bond, he was detained again and taken back to Tacoma on August 21st, 2014. For refusing to sign travel documents that could lead to his deportation back to Eritrea. Thomas is currently in Mesa Verde Detention Center and could be deported back to Eritrea at any moment. He has spent almost 4 years in detention, which has earned the GEO Group over $200,000 while Elsa is left without a son.
Elsa asked me to read a statement that she wrote yesterday. Thomas is my only son. He has been helping me. Thomas came to the U.S. when he was 5 years old and doesn't have any memories of Eritrea. I left Eritrea when I was 6 months pregnant due to the Eritrean-Ethiopian war, where I feared for my life. When I came to the U.S., I worked to support my son and raised him here. Due to an arm injury, I relied on Thomas to help me to take care of my house and of myself. Now he was gone. I don't have the help that I need. Not only did he help me, but he helped his elderly neighbors and anybody else that asked for his assistance. I need my son. He is being detained at Bakersfield, and I can no longer visit him.
And now we want to invite Paulino's family to share some words with us. Paulino has been detained by ICE since June 2013 at a privately owned Tacoma detention facility. In Tacoma, Paulino led peaceful hunger strikes to protest poor conditions at the facility, including racial discrimination, high commissary costs, and $1 a day wages for work. ICE retaliated against Paulino for peacefully speaking out against inhuman conditions by first placing him in solitary confinement and then transferring him to NorCourt, a regional detention facility in the Dalles, Oregon. The community organized and folks were able to get him back to the Tacoma Detention Center, where he was until 2 months ago when he was sent to New Mexico awaiting final deportation. After a rally from the community to get his U visa certification signed by the Molalla Police Department, his lawyer Sandy Restrepo was able to get him released on supervision pending his U visa process. Paulino is currently on his way home from New Mexico. He was released today.
Y mil gracias a todos, a todos. Gracias.
I am Paulino's mom, and I want to say that I'm very grateful to all the organized people who help us through this case, who help us get Paulino released. I can't tell you how happy I am as a mother to have my son back. And I hope that all mothers get their sons back at some point. Thank you very much. So our last speaker is Reverend Michael Ellick. Reverend Ellick is the senior minister of First Congregational United Church of Christ, downtown. With many years of experience working in the New Sanctuary movement and as a faith-based organizer for immigrant rights, Reverend Ellick recently came to Portland from New York, where he was involved in the successful campaign to get ICE out of Rikers. Today, he will call us to act to get ICE out of Oregon.
So you all know, a special kind of insanity has gripped our society. Something is wrong with the American economy of the global north is set up to exploit the resources of the global south. Something is wrong when businesses and capital are allowed to move freely past our nation-state borders and take what they want from the people of all these lands. Because when these same exploited people come to the United States because they know that this is where all the money and the resources that has been taken from them has been concentrated. When these same people come to our shores to try to scratch out some kind of life of dignity to better for themselves and for their families, something is especially wrong when we have the gall to penalize and to punish them. Well, they didn't break the law. We broke the law. Yeah. We broke the higher law, the moral law, the law that says you don't beat up workers, the law that says you don't break up families, that you don't do business by exploiting and terrorizing innocent people, and the law that says you don't get to sit behind a desk inside Washington, D.C. and play petty, narcissistic games while real people have to pay the price. So today we all want to call on President Obama to do the right thing. Today we're going to call on all our politicians in Washington, D.C. to end this bed quota that they talk about for our immigration centers, which, by the way, really horrifying obscuration of what is really going on when we say bed quota, when in fact this is nothing else than a kind of government sanctioning of modern-day internment camps that a few people get to profit by. Well, shame on us. Say it with me. Shame on us.
Shame on us!
History will judge us.
History will judge us!
Today we're calling on President Obama, and when we say calling on, it's not just the press announcement we make. Decide to go home and look up the White House email address. Look up the phone number. It exists. You've got Google. You can figure it out. Go home. Call on President Obama to end the so-called bed quotas, to end the mass incarceration of undocumented immigrants and people of color, and to stop the retaliation against refugee children families within and outside the United States. I want you all to repeat after me. We know better.
We know better.
We can do better.
We can do better.
We demand better.
We demand better.
It's not going to be easy. They're not just going to give it to us. And actually, as you can tell from the fact that I wear a collar, I believe it's going to take some kind of higher power. It doesn't matter what higher power you believe in. It might just be all of us together. But let's take a moment. Let's acknowledge that higher power, however it is in your life, it's going to take. And let us take a moment in prayer together. Great Spirit of life and grace that sustains and protects us all, bless each and every person here today with faith and hope that we might still be delivered from a broken nation, from a broken system that still continues to tear apart our families and our lives. Bless our thoughts and our words and our deeds and all those things spoken today, that we might be freshly inspired to follow the law, the real law, the law of love for all creation, that through this love put into action, we might restore a little bit of that love inside the law of the land, that we might find a more humane system for all our brothers and sisters, and that through them, the American dream might still yet be restored. Amen.
We're at the end of our action. We want to thank you all for being here. And we want to thank particularly Elsa and Paulino's family for being here and sharing their stories. And we send our love to Elsa so her case is solved as successfully as Paulino's and she can be reunited with her son. And there's an announcement coming.
Some of our friends are going to be handing out these little call scripts. We are putting pressure on Assistant Field Director Craig Meyer of the San Francisco ICE office to release Thomas. He is in indefinite detention. He cannot be deported back to Eritrea because there are currently thousands of people fleeing from Eritrea and dying in the Mediterranean because of the conditions and torture that are existing in that country. And Craig Meyer, turns out he's on a vacation right now, as we called in, but we need to make sure that when he comes back from his vacation, that his answering machine is shut down with messages about releasing Thomas. Please call and then wait a week and call again. Demand Thomas's release because it's completely inhumane to continue to just hold him indefinitely, and it would be even more inhumane to deport him back to Eritrea, which is a death sentence. Thank you very much, and his petition's online, and please share it with as many people as possible. Thank you.
Yes, we can. You've been listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. Listen to this and previous Prison Pipeline programs at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. On the page for tonight's show, I've included a link to the campaign for Thomas, Elsa's son. Like Prison Pipeline on Facebook. It's with a heavy heart that I inform you that Portland area activist Adrian Wilson has passed away. Adrian was on the board of the Partnership for Safety and Justice. She also sat on the Oregon Youth Authority's Family Advisory Council and was a dedicated member of the Justice for Families National Alliance of local organizations committed to ending the youth incarceration epidemic. After a loved one was incarcerated on a Measure 11 crime in 2013, Adrian fought towards repealing Measure 11, and that work has been left unfinished. A memorial service is planned for Adrian on Saturday, August 22nd at 11 a.m. at Mount Olivet Baptist Church in North Portland. Adrian was hit accidentally while she was crossing the road. She had fallen in the roadway. So please, as you drive, be safe and make room for pedestrians. Thank you to our engineers, Danielle and Mike, good night.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
KBOO is a co-sponsor of the Double Mountain Brewery and Tap Room's Great Bottle Roundup and Street Party on Sunday, August 23rd in Hood River. To lower their environmental impact, Double Mountain is working to reuse their bottles. More information about participating in the bottle bring back may be found at their website, doublemountainbrewery.com. Jeff Allworth kicks things off at 11:15 for a talk and signing of his book, The Beer Bible. From noon to 6 p.m., there will be music provided by Left Coast Country, Green Neck Daredevils, and Mile Marker 6. People that bring back bottles for the Bottle Roundup have a chance to win prizes throughout the day. That's on Sunday, August 23rd in Hood River. More information is available on the right-hand side of the KBOO homepage at kboo.fm.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next, it's the River Signal, followed at 8 p.m. by A Different Nature. At 10 p.m., it is Talking Earth, and at 11 p.m., it's Gremlin Time. Stay tuned for all that and more here at KBOO Portland. But first, here's the River Signal.
The River Signal.
A long dance following 10 seconds of silence.